Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, Attorney at Law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
So here at Radio Law Talk, we are all about points. What are points? In the case or no case, Denise, Todd, and I, the winner, whoever has the most points at the end of case or no case, 50-point total, the other parties have to buy dinner for. And that's been going on for years now that we've been doing this. The last three times, Denise won, I won, and Todd won. And we're so busy during COVID, we never really did it. But it wiped the three of them out, right? We all got wiped out. This is the first official one that there's no excuse that we have to do the lunch thing, at least the lunch, right? And we're getting close, and I just took over points because you know what happened? Ladies and gentlemen, go back and listen to Denise's discussion where she said, I'm so far ahead. I remember that, Denise? I'm like, uh-oh, you just jinxed yourself.
And I did. Now she jinxed myself.
And now I'm 1 point ahead. I'm at 40 what?
You're at 46 and I'm at 45.
Uh-oh.
And Todd is at 42,
so 46,
I think.
45. But the point
is at 40.
So we can't really win on this one, but next week you guys come and we'll see who's going to win. But this case,
I always give them a chance. I say I get so far ahead that I feel guilty, and I give them a chance to catch up.
You're very nice, Denise.
I know. I'm just not competitive enough.
I know. Yeah, I know. Isn't that great?
She's just so compassionate and kind.
Yeah,
she says she's not competitive enough, but if she loses a case or no case.
No, she is. No, I know her personally. She is a compassionate, kind person. But when it comes to you play a game against her or you do something, you look. Look out, the claws are coming out. She is not going to. All right, with that, let's roll case or no case, see if Denise can pass me up.
To play case or no case.
All right. It was a warm Saturday in New York City, March the 25th, 1911. On the top three floors of the 10-story Ash Building, ASCH, just off Washington Square, employees of the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, a manufacturer of medium-grade shirts for private labeling for retailers, began putting away their work. Because quitting time was 4:45 p.m., they put in long days. Most of the several hundred Triangle Shirtwaist employees were teenage girls, recent immigrants. Many barely spoke English, if any, at all. Their pay? $12 for 15 hours. And then came the startling cry from the floor below. Fire. As soon as the girls got the word, they ran for the door. It was locked to prevent theft. The other door opened inward and opened onto a flimsy fire escape. So the few people who got out to the fire escape, in horror, the fire escape collapsed. And then girl after girl jumped out of the building to avoid burning to death. And then came the relatives coming in at this makeshift morgue, and the coroner came and said this was so bad that he cried himself. So came the funerals and then charges and potential lawsuits. Workers' families were quick to find representation to see if they could sue, and prosecutors looked to see if they could build a case. This has a lot of facets, and I'm going to ask you, first off, case or no case, if so, civil or criminal, and if so, what was the outcome? So this is a four-point case or no case, and Denise Dirks, you're going first. Yes, you've got civil, criminal, outcome, 4 points. Okay, so go ahead. What do you think?
This was a criminal case, and the owners, the factory owners, actually were found and prosecuted and found guilty because they knew that they had locked all of the doors. And then civilly, there were a lot of lawsuits that came out of this. And in the civil arena, there was no case. I think that it ended with civil arena. There was, yeah, no case.
All right, fair enough. So you say guilty. The two men who owned the factory were found guilty for deliberately locking the door, knowingly locked the door.
Correct.
And you say on the civil case there may have been cases filed, but nobody prevailed except the company. Okay, Fred, what's your take on this?
So, yes, I'm trying to think back to law school. I believe this was in
this is
law
absolutely.
School books. Yeah, I remember this. So it's a case, and they were criminally charged. I remember that. The civil issue. I'm going to say, yes, they were civilly charged. I mean, there were civil cases brought, and the winner was the families of the people who passed away and or families of and or the injured. So I'm going to say yes, all the way across the board. And so I'm going to change from Denise, who said no civil cases.
All right. Todd, what do you say, my friend?
When did this happen?
1911, March 25th.
March 25th, 1911.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so my answer on this case, more for strategic reasons than anything else, no case across the board, no criminal case, no civil case, and that this was actually, you know what, I'm going to say no criminal case, and I'm going to say that there was a civil case, but that the defendants win.
Okay, now for a bonus point, if there were civil cases and awards were given, how much was the award? Let's do that. That'll be a fun bonus point.
Well, Denise, what do you mean? Oh, hold on, I'm going to interrupt. But per person or
yes,
gross total?
Let's just say per person. Let's pay per person.
How many people are involved? How do we do
that? Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, you don't know that. That's what
so
I say.
Is there a gross amount we can use?
Yes, about. I don't want to give you that because it's.
Okay. So let's just say whoever's closest to the gross amount, Cal. Is
fair
that
enough.
Okay?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
All right, Denise, okay. I guess it's on you.
Yeah.
$100,000.
Okay.
1911, huh?
Yep.
$50,000.
Okay, Todd, what do you think?
$101,000.
Oh!
You're going Aaron.
Price is right here,
that's
guys.
Right.
He's going Aaron Rodgers on this whole thing.
Yes. All right, let's find out. I want to find out. I don't want to wait for a break on this one.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I will tell you, this is a fascinating story, and I found it, by the way, with all credit to the History Channel, because I subscribe to their This Day in History feed. So here's what we know about this. 2 weeks after this horrid, awful, awful fire in New York City, the cases began to pile up. Criminal cases. And Denise, interestingly, came up with a great point. She said they were found guilty because they knew the door was locked. Actually, they were not found guilty because they were able to establish in court that they did not know that that door was locked. So that's what they established in court, and they were acquitted of that. As far as the civil cases, $75 per life.
Whoa.
Oh, gosh.
I knew I was closest. I was closest.
You were.
Because I knew it wouldn't be much.
$75 times 146.
Oh, that's me.
Wow. That's a lot of deaths. Well, out of this, 75, yeah, so do you, yeah, 75 times 146. Out of this, labor laws were changed. Union agreements were founded.
So?
So
I only get one point.
$10,900.
I get, there was total four, so I only missed on one. So that's three for me.
Yeah.
Todd missed on all of them.
I missed on all of them.
And by the way, according to court testimony, you know how much money was actually stolen that these guys allegedly locked the door for? Unknowingly locked the door.
How much?
$25.
And they were worried about some people.
Right. And that was the total loss that they could establish.
So many, 140 died?
146. This was a major, horrible disaster.
Oh my gosh. I remember this.
I remember it too. I can't remember the name of it, but I do remember that it was criminal.
Well, the company's name was Shirt Waist. W-A-I-S-T, like a shirt and your waist. And, this was a major scene in New York City at the time, obviously.
Now, we got coming up, we've got a bunch of other cases we're going to discuss, but more important, we're going to do our quick takes at the end. We'll be back.
Yep, thanks, Fred, and thank you, folks, for your favorite local radio stations and, of course, on RadioLawTalk.com.
You turned on Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk.
Aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt is just won't do it.
Best thing about Quick Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this car shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see. I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you serious?
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
Those of you who don't know, there was an abduction supposed case out of California that had an interesting twist and some possible prosecutions going on. Let's turn to our former prosecutor, Todd Cunin, to talk about this.
Yeah, this one goes back to the offense. This goes back quite a ways to November of 2016. It's caught national news. A mom in Northern California, her name was Sherry Papini, went missing, and a long search for her. And after a few weeks, she shows up on the side of the road, 100, 200 miles away from where she lived. And she'd been branded on her arm, and she claims that she was abducted by two females. She's returned to her husband and her children. Joyous reunions had. Happy to have her back. But, you know, something just didn't sit right with law enforcement, and they kept at it. They investigated. They wanted to find these perpetrators, as law enforcement would want to do. Just because the victim is back doesn't mean that the injustice has not occurred, and it needs to be righted. And so they continued looking for these perpetrators, again, described by Miss Papini as two Hispanic females that abducted her. And she never mentioned that any men were involved. Well, as one of the things that
we'll they, make it G-rated too.
Right? One of the things that they investigate is they investigate her clothing and herself to see was any DNA evidence left. I mean, look, if you touch people and stuff, you could have something here. And they investigated her sundries, where they found male DNA. DNA coming back to a male. She'd never said there was any male. So they tested it further. And the male DNA they found out didn't come back to her husband. And so that led law enforcement to think, well, wait a second here.
Certain type of DNA too, right?
Yes. We don't want to bench. I don't, you know, the reports weren't clear. Yeah. They just said it was DNA samples that came back from a male. They knew it was not female based upon the genetic markers. So they searched further, and it turns out, lo, this 6 years later in 2022, law enforcement goes to Miss Papini, and she was placed under arrest for faking the 2016 kidnapping. The investigation led to the person positively identified by that DNA found in Miss Papini's underwear, and he eventually confessed that during the time that Miss Papini was missing, she was actually with him in his apartment and that they were together. And then eventually she had to go back. And so she is now being prosecuted for perpetrating this hoax that has caused a lot of the expenditure of a lot of law enforcement resources and what have you. And it remains to be seen, because her husband has been supportive of her this entire time. It remains to be seen, because this is so new, how that relationship will turn out and what will happen going forward as a result of her involvement in the criminal process.
The new court documents just released today also indicate, by the way, this is from up in my neighborhood, the new court documents that I just read indicated there was another mystery man from Michigan. But he said, no, we didn't spend any time together.
And I had known about that. Yeah. This person was questioned and said, yes, he did talk, but he was able to show that he was not anywhere near the area at that time.
Right.
And had never been there. But it does appear, or the allegations as part of the prosecution, I think, is going to allege and try to show that this is a type of conduct in terms of meeting other individuals that might have been a pattern for Miss Papini. We'll see what comes out, but we will follow this one.
In addition, she also received victims of crime monies. So they're charging her also with that fraudulent behavior, because if, in fact, she faked the kidnapping, she would not have been a victim and have been able to utilize the victims of crime monies.
That is correct. And so,
and that comes from where, Denise and Todd? How do they get that money? How does the government get that money?
Okay, so everybody who's convicted of a crime, there'll be a fine. And for example, for DUI cases right now in my jurisdiction, the standard fine is $450 plus penalties and assessments. Now, when they tack on those penalties and assessments, that $450 fine ends up being somewhere between $2,000 or $3,000. And one of the assessments is a small portion gets paid into the Victims of Crime Fund.
Right.
And that fund, everybody who commits a crime pays a small amount that goes to the Victim of Crime Fund, and money from that fund is then dispersed to as the title indicates, victims of crime, and she received some of that money.
And a lot of drug deals. That they have cars that they take, or they get boats away from people. That goes, a lot of that goes in the victim of crimes.
At least a portion of it.
Yeah,
some of it goes to the agencies, the enforcement agencies.
Right. Like $35,000, $36,000. Then she also got some GoFundMe nice people money, too, of like $45,000.
Which would also be based upon fraud.
That's right.
And the authorities came to her and said, Ms. Papini, we have you cold. We have the evidence. We're going to lay it right out here in front of you. And she said, nope, two Mexican women in her dark SUV. She stuck with it. And they said, okay, went and arrested her in front of her kids. You know, they didn't like that. But you keep the cops waiting for that long, they're not going to be that nice to you.
And so I was wondering if the statute of limitation, what is it on that type of a crime? Because this happened in 2016, the alleged kidnapping, and here we are in 2022. So.
Well, statute of limitations on certain offenses start to run when law enforcement knew or should have known that an offense has occurred, and it would have taken them a while. The interesting thing from a criminal defense attorney standpoint is after she was returned, after she came back, after being gone for 3 weeks, if she, as part of her claim, had said a man was involved and there was some sort of sexual assault going on, she might have avoided any subsequent charges because that would explain the presence of male DNA. Her story that never talked about a man did not square with the evidence, which is what spurred further investigation.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk about a UC Berkeley lawsuit. We are going to get to the 737 MAX jet prosecution of one of the employees and what happens there. We're going to talk about Bob Saget. We're also going to talk about the USFL if we can get to it. And then we've got quick takes at the very end. So hold on.
Thanks, Fred, and thanks, Denise and Todd, and thank you for listening, folks. There's more Radio Law Talk coming up right here on many local favorite radio stations and on RadioLawTalk.com.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com. If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
Here's Fred Penny with Penny and Associates.
When you or a family member have been injured in an accident, what should you look for in a personal injury lawyer? The first thing is an experienced personal injury law firm that is actually taking cases to trial. Hi, I'm Frederick Penny, managing partner and founder of Penny and Associates Injury Lawyers. For over 30 years, Penny and Associates Injury Lawyers has been successfully representing individuals and their families. At Penny and Associates, we're experienced trial lawyers, and we work with you to get the best results.
Go to pennyandassociates.com or call 800-616-4529.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
I've got to get my car washed and dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today, I don't know what I do. And I know this place right down the road. Quick, quick, car wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this gutter shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, quick, quick, car wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick, quick, car wash. They'll have you.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Biden has delivered what's billed as a major address on Ukraine from Warsaw.
Let us resolve to put the strength of democracies into action to thwart the designs of autocracy. Let us remember that the test of this moment is the test of all time.
Biden delivered the speech after meeting with Ukrainian refugees in Poland. It comes as Russia is signaling that it is implementing a new strategy in its invasion of Ukraine. Special advisor at the White House National Security Council, Matthew Miller, telling ABC's Good Morning America that the administration is not looking at Russia's words.
We always wait to see what Russia actually does, not just take for granted what it actually says, because from the beginning of this conflict, they have never been honest about their aims.
Miller adds that while the U.S. was warning of a Russian invasion, the Kremlin downplayed things, accusing America of fear-mongering. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show. Are you serious?
This is Radio Law Talk with Frederick Penny.
I love our breaks. We're studying relentlessly about all these cases. No, we were talking about NCAA football and the NFL and the trades of the quarterbacks, and that's what we're talking about.
We could go on forever if we ever had a segment that was just
non-law.
Who's going to get drafted? Who's going to play where? Right. And which players do we think are going to make it? And which ones?
Exactly.
That would be a fun show. Not necessarily in our wheelhouse. Not necessarily part of, you know.
But that's some fun behind the scenes. What we do, we talk about. And then Denise does talk about it also, but a lot of times she'll just
zone out
and shake her head.
Oh yeah, well, you know, Denise. Well, I like that team because their uniforms are nice.
No, yes. She's not that way.
Name one member of the team. That's what my husband always says. Name one player on the team.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Well, I don't know.
Say John.
Unless it's
the mascot, Trailblazer.
Unless it's Oregon, right?
You will know Oregon.
Oregon, I know.
You know Oregon.
And I kind of follow some of the ones that come out of Oregon, too, like Marcus Mariota. He just got traded to the Colts. I knew that.
Actually, Atlanta.
Oh, shoot.
But it's okay.
But you were close. Because Atlanta's quarterback, Matt Ryan, just was signed by the Colts.
Okay.
Or sent to the Colts.
All right.
So
I kinda got it.
He was filling Ryan.
Has the Falcons, who do they hire? I mean, what quarterbacks?
They brought in Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
And did they bring in anybody else?
So the only one really left is Seattle, right?
Seattle's looking for a quarterback.
And we got Baker Mayfield on the sidelines right now.
And theoretically, Jimmy Garoppolo, although I don't think he's going anywhere.
I think Garoppolo staying in San Francisco until his shoulder heals, and they're going to wait for a quarterback to go down either in training camp or the first part of the season, and some quarterback needy team will come in, and then they'll trade him.
I think that makes sense.
Wow, that's exciting. We could talk about the law, too, if we want.
We could.
Denise, what about the Berkeley lawsuits?
Well, Berkeley lawsuit was an interesting one because it was a group called Save Berkeley's Neighborhoods that brought a lawsuit against UC Berkeley because it was increasing enrollment again and has been every year increasing their enrollment. And they made the argument to the California Supreme Court that it violated the environmental protection in California. And
yeah, known as CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA.
That's right. And so, and they won at the California Supreme Court. So what happens? California legislature created a bill to try to overcome that Supreme Court decision, and they settled it all out because of this new bill that was coming in that was going to make the UC Berkeley have to show within 18 months that it had no environmental impact. UC Berkeley was saying, just because we have more enrollment does not mean that we're having more students on campus. It doesn't mean any of that because there's so many of them that are coming on in and have agreed to do online studies. And there's a lot less people in the spring because people are graduating early and all of that. And so they did come up with a settlement plan. And while they don't have the full enrollment that they had hoped to have, there was a settlement that allowed them to increase their enrollment and have a certain amount of students that were going to agree to be online and not come onto the campus. So it worked out for everybody.
Isn't it ironic, though, that a California law was used against a California university, a law commonly used by people who don't want any changes in their neighborhood or whatever, to try to stop that. So they used this California law against the state itself in that lawsuit. I was fascinated by that.
I thought it was great. I think the part that was really questionable is really, can people be an environmental hazard?
I know some that smell that way.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, when my kid, when my kid was young and we had those little diaper genies, I needed an environmental impact report just to throw that thing in the trash. And rightly so, that thing would knock a buzzard off a gut wagon at 20 yards. So
I like his sayings, don't you, Todd Sayings?
Yeah.
So I got a question for you. When you say they reached a settlement, I thought that there was this lawsuit, because the Supreme Court ultimately came in and said, yeah, the enrollment has to be capped because of this law. The California Supreme Court said that. And then the legislature stepped in and passed, what was it, SB 118,
right,
which carved out an exemption for them. So when you say there's a settlement, is it the SB 118 that was signed into law that you're referring to?
Yes, Emperor Newsom signed that.
It did get signed into law, but that was going to put the burden on the so many months for UC Berkeley to have to show that there was no environmental impact. And then it ended up that there was a settlement as a result of that. So, yeah, it ultimately settled. Everybody was happy. Even the neighborhoods were happy. You have to remember that the reason the neighborhoods were so upset was because limited housing, and they're going to have more people in a very small period, very small place, and they're going to have, all these new students, and they're taking up the housing and taking up the resources and all of that instead of going to their neighborhoods. So they were there being protective of their neighborhood.
Plus, there's a tendency among many Californians to say, I'm here, now close the gate behind me. I've come in, I've changed the neighborhood because I've moved in. Now don't let anybody else in here. Don't let any other changes take place. It doesn't happen all the time, but CEQA is commonly used by folks who have that view of the world.
But that's interesting. The people in Texas and Mississippi don't really care, do they, or Georgia?
Well, because there's more reason to make fun of California.
That's
of
true. That's exactly right. Let's talk about non-California stuff. The 737 MAX jet, this is the Boeing jet, that was just an absolute devastating result. And Todd usually looks these things up. It's a Boeing product that has the just phenomenal technology. And what happened is, I'm going to make it very, brief what happened, because I can't remember all the details, but there was like an autopilot setting somehow. And something went wrong, and it makes the plane, I can't remember, go up or down, but the pilots, they're finding, all they had to basically do is take it off autopilot and manually fly that thing, and it would have been okay. But the issue is of training and understanding of how this thing works. And it came down to a guy by the name of an employee named Mark Faulkner. And Mark Faulkner is 49. He works for Boeing in some capacity. And he was somehow in charge of, you know, training pilots the flight. He was in charge somehow of the flight control system that caused this this accident. I'm not going to give them details because I don't know the details.
Two accidents, though, right?
Yeah, two. But here's the issue. The issue is his defense argued the whole time that he was a scapegoat for the FAA and for Boeing. And the jury was out, and they prosecuted him for misleading Federal Aviation Administration regulators about the amount of training that pilots needed to fly the MAX, right? And the whole time he's like, guys, I only trained what I did know. I didn't know everything, right? And so it came down to this. You know things are good for you as a defendant when less than 2 hours after a long time, they're back and he's found not guilty. And good for him. And basically, the lawyers who argued the whole time and was, look, this guy was a scapegoat for Boeing and the FAA officials. You know, they're saying they tried to avoid the blame that killed 346 people. And good for him. He's off. So go ahead.
Yeah, and one of the I guess the prosecution's smoking gun evidence, if you will, is that whatever Faulkner told the FAA in the post-accident investigations about the level of training that people had received didn't seem to square with some internal complaint that he had made about the jet. And what the defense pointed out was, yeah, the complaint that he made. And obviously the prosecution is saying, if you knew enough to make that complaint, then you needed to tell the FAA about it, right? And that's their smoking gun evidence. The problem is the complaint he made had to do with a flight simulator. It didn't have to do with the operation of the actual jet. It was a flight simulator complaint that he had. And those are not the same thing, and it just wasn't enough there. And I'll tell you, in a criminal case of this magnitude, for the jury to come back in 2 hours, it's probably going to take you a half hour just to pick your dang jury for a person and you know, get to, oh, we can finally
take
talk
a break,
about the case and take a break. And I don't know how many days it went on, but if it only took 2 hours and the jury comes back with a not guilty verdict, it's like, it almost feels like it was a, hey, what's the vote? It's guilty. All right. Let's not tell the court that. Let's just hang in here because we get free lunch if we stay afternoon or something like that. It just seems like it was rather quick.
Or get to know each other. So tell me about your kids.
Yeah, I've been eyeing you for the last 3 weeks of trial. I want your name and number.
I think for $5 a day, they said, we better get that sandwich, and then we can go back.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back. We'll finish this thing up and do our quick take.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk on many local radio stations whom we deeply appreciate. If for some reason you're listening to this outside of 9 to noon Pacific time on Saturdays, remember, you can stream it live at RadioLawTalk.com, or you can go on there and get all of our previous shows via podcast and listen to it at your convenience. However you listen to it, we thank you.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case.
Email the show anytime you'd like. Info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info. Info. @radiolawtalk.com.
We're back with our final segment. Bob Saget, there's not a lot to talk about. The investigation finally came out that he fell down. Their investigation showed he fell, hit his head. They don't know exactly how or what happened. They did know that he tested positive after his death of COVID. One individual did testify, or when I say testify, that they interviewed said that he was complaining that he wasn't feeling very good. So they're wondering if it was post-COVID that he was a little shaky and a little bit, not feeling good enough that he fell and hit his head. And a lot of times when that happens, you can have a concussion or a severe concussion, and you're not thinking straight. And instead of going to bed, he should have called, an ambulance or called someone to help him, but sometimes you're not thinking straight. But that's what he died, passed away from. So that, the only reason we bring that up is, what does that have to do with legal? There were lawsuits about coming forth, making sure that they protected some of the pictures and information that the sheriff and or prosecutors had. So there we go.
Because in Florida, people can, that stuff's supposed to be released, but right, families can try to block it, and the family tried to block
it. Exactly.
Yeah. And for their, based on their privacy.
Right.
And the injunction was granted, and any pictures of him as a result of this death and the investigation of his death, could not be released. It was basically protecting him and his family from something similar that happened to
Kobe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
USFL, let me tell you, I know some players that are wonderful football players that were excited because they got drafted, that they didn't quite make it in the NFL, but the USFL is back. Those of you from the 80s that are over 50 years old will remember the USFL, at least the one I remember, right? Way back when.
Yeah.
And it's back. They're a basically summertime football league, and they're trying to, I'm not going to say compete, but you know, get some time on television. Yeah, to make some money.
There were the Texans, the Memphis Showboats, New Jersey Generals. I'm just trying to think of the teams.
And the largest paid, I remember, USFL person at the beginning of the 80s, or sometime in the 80s, was a guy by the name of
Steve
Young.
L.A. Express,
and,
man.
And he made a lot of money on that. And he just pocketed it, right?
He signed a huge contract and ended up seeing very little of it.
He saw some of it, but
not a whole lot. He tells the story about he'd take his checks and just kind of keep them in a drawer because he wasn't used to having that much money. And apparently,
he should have cashed them.
Apparently, his contract was technically an annuity.
Oh.
And his mom used to say, you're not worth all that money. And he says, my mom would stand up in the stands and go, it's an annuity. Like that really mattered to anybody in the stands.
Yeah.
But we don't care about the structure, right?
But the folks from the early 80s, the owners, the ownership group that had the branding, well, we got this new USFL coming up, and they're suing.
The original 1980s
guys.
Yes,
they're suing, claiming that the new USFL is a, quote, an unabashed counterfeit. I'm like, yeah, because it's probably going to be successful, and yours wasn't.
Unabashed counterfeit of a non-existent league.
Yes, they're claiming that, you know, it's a ripoff of what we've got. You know, one of the fundamental issues about trademark law is that, look, if somebody trademarks a logo or something and another thing comes in as too close, the general public will be confused as to which is the original and actual product and which is the counterfeit. Trust me, folks, nobody is going to be confused that the USFL coming up in a month or so has anything to do with those guys from 35, 40 years ago. It's just not going to create the public confusion.
Right.
We're going to have to see what happens. We should follow this.
Yeah, you know, they haven't reached a resolution on it.
Do they have
yet.
An Instagram? I'm going to look.
I know that Fox's lawyers, because Fox is really promoing this. And I should say that this USFL was actually kind of part of the old XFL from a couple of years ago that was kind of taken off, but then COVID hit, and they couldn't finish the season, and
the stands were empty, that had to go away.
But I think in the USFL, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a part owner, has purchased into this. The WWE, who owned the XFL, sold out to the new group, and we'll see how it goes. I do know that under the old XFL, that, again, went defunct because of the pandemic, there were a couple of guys, more than a few, that really showed their stuff and, because of their performance, actually landed with NFL teams. Because, hey, you guys can really play. There's no real minor league system in football, and I think the idea was always to kind of have this be something akin to that so that folks on the bubble can show their wares and maybe hook up with the team.
Here they go. It's the USFL on Instagram, USFL on Fox. They've got one post. But I guess, are these the ones that it's got USFL Breakers? Are these the new ones?
The Breakers, New Jersey Breakers.
USFL Bandits, the Stars, the Maulers,
Tampa Bay Bandits,
the Generals, the Stallions.
The eight teams in the new USFL are all using the names from the original USFL in the early 80s.
One jersey I wish I had from the old USFL, I would never wear it, but it would be fun to have the Oakland Invaders.
Oakland
looked like had looked like San Diego with the lightning bolt, but you know, off the Raiders.
I saw an interview with Steve Young. He said that there were so few fans toward the end that they'd have to whisper the plays in the huddle so that the other team couldn't hear because there was no crowd noise. And that phenomenon reared its ugly head again in the pandemic football games from 2020 because there were no fans in the stands. So again, they had to very.
They played they played fan sounds.
But that was for the broadcasts.
Yeah.
But on the field, they had to be very quiet in announcing the plays, calling the plays in the huddle, because the other team could hear it.
Interesting. I was just
reading. Fans were like cardboard cutouts, right?
Love those.
In some cases. I was just reading history of the NFL, and in the very early days, players were encouraged to go shake hands with the fans in the stands, all 20 of them, because nobody watched in the early times. That certainly changed.
You know what's funny? As I grew up collecting baseball cards in the 60s as a kid, and I'm telling you, I vividly remember getting football cards like,
what am I going to do with
these? I don't want these things. Who cares about that? And then basketball, I got basketball cards. Who cares about that? Baseball is where it's at. You know, it's like, and now the NBA and the NFL are so big. I mean, clearly the NFL is the number one sport, and I think baseball's second, but the NBA at least at one point was catching up, right?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, let's move on, and look, let me tell you a couple quick things, because we don't have time to go into anything else. We've got a couple more issues about Crumbly. We'll talk about that next time. That's the case where the two parents are being tried for their son who had a gun and killed some, a crazy thing that happened.
This is the Michigan high school shooting, right?
Yeah, the high school shooting. But now all they're doing is they're giving separate counsel to each parent. And without that, let's roll quick takes, all right? Let's just roll our quick takes. Let's get out of here.
As you wish. Now, for quick takes, and Fred, why don't you go ahead and go first?
I want to start.
All right.
Early on, we talked about something very important. $100 million house that's being built in Bel Air. You know what? You might want to follow the plans. And there's a reason you want to follow the plans. Remember, your neighbors have a lot of money, and they can sue you.
Mr. Kendall, what is your quick take, sir?
Well, this harkens back to your case or no case about potatoes. India said potato, PepsiCo said potato, and they called the whole thing off.
And by the way, a potato skin is technically called the jacket. Anyway, Denise, what is your take or no take?
Well, Stormy really lost out. You know, she got paid $130,000 for a non-disclosure agreement about her affair with Trump. And now she has to pay him $300,000.
And not only
that's
that,
a bad deal.
She's now a psychic, so there you go. Well, we'll be back next week to hear more about case or no case and the latest goings on in the legal field. We'll be back.
But did she see that?
Next week, 9 to noon,
yep.
Right? Pacific
time. You bet. That's right. Listen to us, and we'll be here.
Been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.